Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Enjoy Church is unbelievable. We go to a great church. Does anyone agree with me? We go to a great church. You know, God is doing amazing things through Enjoy Church. Thank you, creative team. You guys do an unbelievable job. So cool. You know, I love these guys. We do... In Melton, I'm the extension service pastor in Melton. 4 p.m. we meet out there. And so many of these guys get here at like 10 to 7 in the morning. They're serving at Sunshine. They're serving North, driving all across the state. And then they come out at 4 p.m. and they lead us in worship there once again. And, you know, these guys are unbelievable. Let's give it up for our creative team. And you know what? It's not just our creative team. There's guys in Kid Mania. There's guys in the car park. There's leaders across the front row. We got such an amazing, amazing church. I'm excited for Summit, our family camp without the camp. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited for our We Are Empire Youth Conference. That's going to be very cool. Pastor Jake's doing an amazing job. Hey, who's just pumped in general for 2019? Isn't going to be an unbelievable year? The year of suddenly, that's the word that's been spoken. Who's declaring suddenly over their lives, suddenly moments, suddenly breakthroughs, suddenly occurrences? Come on. So good. I'm believing things are going to change. Opportunities are going to arise. God is going to move suddenly in so many different ways. And you know what? I also love the vision that was spoken this year. You know, 33,030. We've never had a numerical vision like that before. And I reckon it's kind of crazy, but I like crazy. Who likes crazy? I reckon it's kind of huge, but I like huge. I like it, Pastor Shane. Thank you for that one. It's good. But you know what? We can sit there and think about it. And it's like 30 locations. Like, what? How are we going to get 3,000 Enjoy team members? It's massive. It's huge. It's so big. And I reckon sometimes our personal stuff that God has spoken to us and the things he whispers to us in the night are so huge that we can freak out a bit, you know. I kind of always knew that God wanted me to be a pastor, but to be honest, I was just really scared even to admit it to myself. I'm like, I don't want to have to speak in front of people. That's my greatest fear in the whole world, you know what I mean? And I'm going to have to do that week in, week out. But you know what? Sometimes what God puts before us can seem so massive, can seem huge, can seem, how are we going to get there? How are we possibly going to grow to 30 locations? How am I possibly going to grab a hold of that thing that God has spoken over my life? But you know what, church? I'm here to let you know and remind you, it doesn't matter how you feel. I'm here to put you at ease. I'm here to declare something over your lives, church, and over our church. That we are called, you are called for such a time as this. Who can believe it? For such a time as this. God has life, and not just life, but life to the full, life overflowing, life flowing over, life more than it can ever be. You know, we're the head and not the tail. We're pressed down, shaken together are his blessings for us. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a masterpiece, and God has a master plan for your life. There's so much for you. There is so much for you, church. And you know what? All we got to do is just reach out and grab a hold of it. This is our moment. You get a feeling of that. This is our moment. This is our time. Do you believe it, church? This is our moment. This is our time. This is our opportunity right here, right now. And, you know, for generations, people have been stepping up into their moment, stepping up into their time. You know, I was thinking about it this week. You got a guy called Captain James Cook. Anyone go to primary school and learn about Captain Cook? We're about to celebrate Australia Day in a couple weeks. Australia, mate. There you go, Australia. But this guy all the way over in England, they're like, who wants to jump on a boat and go and like search the oceans for other countries? It's like, is there a barbecue on that boat? Man, I'm not interested if there's no barbecue on that boat. Stuff that. But he goes, no, I'm called for such a time as this. He goes, I'll do it. And as a result, Australia was established. What about William Wilberforce in the 1800s, about that time? He's living in America and slavery is a deal. You know, slavery happened back then and he's like, this is no good. Like, this is clearly not the way that it should be and I don't want it to be like this anymore. I've got to do something about this. But how massive would that have been? Like, one guy, how is he going to stop slavery? But he knew for such a time as this, he wrote a song and a whole bunch of stuff went down and then the rest is history. What about Oskar Schindler? You know, back in Nazi Germany, the most evil, disgusting time just about ever in humanity, you know, during the Holocaust. It was horrible. And here's one guy in the middle of this whole nation that's taking over half the world. Horrible stuff going on. He's like, this is not right. This shouldn't happen. This can't happen. I've got to do something about it. But how massive would that have seen? How is he supposed to do that? But he knew that he was called for such a time as this. And he himself saved 1,200 Jews himself, and generations are thankful for that moment. What about Reinhard Bonnke? I can't preach without talking about Reinhard Bonnke, it seems like lately. But you know what? It's because I understand what God spoke to him. You see, God spoke to him and said, Africa needs to be saved. It is like a young bloke in Germany, like thousands of miles away, God says, Africa needs to be saved. Like, how overwhelming is that? How many people are there in Africa? I don't know. You couldn't even count. It's massive. But he's like, you know what? I know I'm called for such a time as this. I know I'm going to do it. And as a result, millions, literally millions of people have been saved because he stepped up. Can I get an amen? For such a time as this moment. And then if I get biblical on you, we got Moses. Who loves Moses? What a cool guy. Moses is the best. And our scholars say that there were, let me check my notes, 2.4 million people captive in Egypt. And God speaks to Moses and says, I want you to set them free. He's like, what? Far out. He took a little bit of convincing. You got to read the story for yourself. But as a result, he knew, I'm called for such a time as this. This is my moment. I'm going to set my people free. And a nation was free because he stepped up. What about the disciples? This is my favorite one. You know, these guys, Jesus says to them, go into the world and preach the gospel, you know, literally all the world. And these days, you think about that, you're like, yeah, okay, so I'll get some plane tickets, I'll set up some Facebook events, Airbnb, you know, hotel, you know, fresh water, you know, I wonder if I get to sleep on the plane, like I better get some sleep in because I'll be tired when I arrive. These guys are on like dirt tracks in the heat on the back of a stinking donkey in the bottom of like a really smelly fishing boat. You know what I mean? It's not the same as now, but despite all that, they knew we are called for such a time as this. This is our moment. This is our time. We are called for such a time as this. And suddenly the rest is history. You know, these people did great things. It was their time. It was their moment. And church, I'm here to tell you today, it's your time. It's your moment. Church, it's your time. Church, it's your time. It's your time. It's your moment. It's your time. It's your moment. God has got great things for us, church. God has got great things for you. What suddenly moments are you waiting for? What suddenly moments are you believing for? We got a vision set before us. Suddenly moments are coming. You have been called for such a time as this. But you know what? If we're not careful, such a time as this, that phrase can just become one of those throwaway lines that we chuck out there. You know what I mean? When we're being all very Christian and we say to someone, yeah, I'll pray for you, bro. And we actually don't. I've never done that. Pastor Andreas does it all the time. But, you know, I'm only joking. But you know what? If we say this stuff, we got to do it. You know, my favorite kind of throwaway thing when I was younger was there used to be all these songs, hallelujah. Everything, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's like 15, 20 different ways to sing hallelujah. And as a kid, I'm like, all right, I'll just learn all these songs and I'll sing along. And then it's years later, I find out hallelujah means praise God. I'm like, all of a sudden, those songs make sense. Like, now I know what we're singing about. No wonder there were so many different ways to say it because we got to sing it, you know. But if we're not careful, for such a time as this can just be one of those things we chuck out there. For such a time as this. Yeah, you're called for such a time as this, man. But we've got to understand what it's all about. It's such a powerful phrase. We've got to get a revelation of what it means. We've got to understand what it means and get it in our spirit so we can grab a hold of it. And, you know, the story of where it came from is really, really cool. And I'll just give you a grab of where it's at. But basically, it's from the book of Esther, which is about the story of a girl called Esther. And she was a Jew living in captivity in Persia, and kind of the Jews were a second-class kind of citizen kind of deal. And what happens was the king of Persia had this massive feast, and he's partying, and he says for his wife, come and hang out, and let's hang out and come to this party that I'm throwing, and she refuses. So he throws her out of the kingdom, man. How harsh is that? Like, they're hardcore back in the day. Imagine if you're this guy's kid and you didn't do the vacuuming. What would happen to you? You'd be like in a dungeon for like 6 years or something. Like, come on, man. But anyway, so he kicks her out, gets rid of his wife, his queen, and he goes, now I've got to find a new queen. And I was doing some research during the week, and I found something that was oddly interesting. And theologians say that, you know, the bachelor competition on TV, they reckon that this king came up with the bachelor competition. I'm only joking. But basically what goes down is the king goes out and creates the very first bachelor competition ever written about. And he goes through all the land and gets all the prettiest girls and gets them to come into his castle and they start getting ready, and he chooses which one he likes the most. Like, what is that all about? It's crazy. But they're there living and eating his food, and they got 6 months in oil and myrrh, and another 6 months soaking themselves in perfume and preparing themselves and personal trainers and all the right kind of stuff. And it's during this period, I'm just making some of this up, but they did soak themselves in oil, and it was kind of like a bachelor competition. It's too funny not to say it, hey? And So in this, the hero of the story, Esther, there's such a time as this girl comes along and her uncle Mordecai, he hooks her up and gets her in this competition. And she goes in this competition and, it progresses. And after each date, he hands out roses and one person misses out because there's not enough roses. And there's tears and people leave and competition after competition goes on. And we end up with Esther as the final one with the final rose. And hey, let's give up for Esther. She becomes a queen. It's awesome. And so she's gone from an orphan to a queen, and she loves it. It's amazing. Like, how unbelievable is that? Like, all that journey, and she ends up there, like, far out for such a time as this, yeah? Far out. And she's there, but see, the story continues, and what happens was the king's got this advisor called Haman, who he hates Mordecai, Esther's uncle, and, you know, stuff goes down. Read it for yourself. It's a very powerful book of the Bible. It's like a one sit-down read. It's not a very big book, but there's so much in it. And he takes a disliking for Mordecai, and he goes, I'm going to kill him. And he goes, not only am I going to kill him, I'm going to kill every single person of his race because I hate him that much. Like, how ridiculous is that? We're talking about genocide right here. So he's like, I'm going to kill all the Jews. This is Esther's people, remember? So Mordecai, uncle, tears his clothes. They did a lot of that back in the day. I'm not too sure. They must have had cheap tailors or something. Oh, I don't know, you know, whatever. Just go to Cotton On for a $20 t-shirt and you're sweet. You can get back into it again, you know what I mean? But so he tears his clothes. He's really upset. I like that joke. That was good. That was a good one. I got to edit these notes and put that down. I like it. Cotton On, $20 t-shirt. So he tears his clothes and he puts clothes back on. Then he goes and says to Esther, "This is the moment. You've got to do something about this. You've got the king's ear." And then in Esther 4 verses 10, she sends a message to Mordecai, and basically it says, I won't read it, but it's on the screen, that don't you know that anyone that goes before the king and not in their appointed time is at risk of death, like he'll just put them to death. The only way that won't happen is if he extends his gold scepter to them and gives them favor. So she's like, yeah, this is not an easy thing you're asking me to do, Mordecai. I get there's all this stuff going on, but it's going to risk my death. Like, it could be all over. Then Mordecai hears this, they're communicating through a messenger, and he goes, you've got to do it. And in verse 12 and 13, he sends back an answer. Then if we go down to verse 14, this is the quote. Mordecai says to Esther, who's come through this thing and is with the king and risking her life, he goes, and who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Who knows that everything, all this stuff that's gone together, the winning of the competition, the living in the palace, all the stuff that you've gone through, is for this moment, right now, for such a time as this. You know, it doesn't matter how hard or risky or difficult it might be. It doesn't matter what it might be. You've been called for such a time as this. This is your moment. And on the other side of your moment is the freedom of your people. You know, and the story continues, and Esther, like, ums and ahs, and she's like, yeah, okay, I got it. And she gets everyone to pray, and she goes before the king, and, you know, she prepares herself and gets ready, and in Esther 8:3, it says that she fell down at his feet and implored him with tears. And God's good because she finds favor with the king. And, you know, the decree is reversed and Haman's gotten rid of and Mordecai is promoted and all is good and they live happily ever after in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, like the story goes, it's a really awesome story. You should definitely check it out. But back to the phrase, for such a time as this, because that's what I want to speak about today, for such a time as this. You see, Esther embraced her such a time as this. She embraced what she was called to do. And on the other side of that, she changed a generation. Yeah, wow. She changed a nation. She changed a people. In fact, she changed generations. Because that nation wouldn't exist now if it wasn't for what she did then. So, church, I've got a question for you. What's on the other side of your for such a time as this? What's linked to your for such a time as this? What's the other side? Yeah, it's huge. As a church, we're declaring and speaking unbelievably massive things and nations and 30 and 3,000 and 30 and, you know, it's huge. It's unbelievable. But individually, it might be the same. Maybe God's speaking to you huge and massive things. It's like, I don't know if I can step up to it. I don't know if I can do it. But church, what's on the other side of it? What's on the other side of it? Yeah, the vision is huge, but it's what's linked to it. You know, our nation's linked to it. As a church, nations are definitely linked to what we're doing. But maybe individually for you, nations are linked to you stepping up to your moment. You know, we've been declaring it over our lives for the last 12 months, so why wouldn't it be the case? What if, church, on the other side of your moment, nations exist? What if this time in 5 years, you don't even live in Australia, you're pastoring a church in who knows where? Enjoy church, obviously. What if you're doing missionary work? What if you're doing whatever it might be? Just chuck that one in there real quick. Yeah, that's it. What else would you want to do, mate? Far out. Why waste your time anywhere else? That's what I reckon. Just quietly. Oh, this one's going on the internet, isn't it? Yeah, it's true. What about nations? What about on the other side of your obedience, generations are linked? What if on the other side of your obedience, there's kids that are going to come to church and go through Kidmania, go through Empire, go through Erie Young Adults and come and sit, and who knows what they're going to do? Well, what is family restoration? What if there's families that are going to be changed for generations because what you do and on the other side of your obedience? What if there's salvation on the other side of your obedience? How many hundreds of people will be saved because of what God is calling you to do? Ask yourself that question. How many hundreds of people will be saved? Don't just think, how many? How many? Because God's wanting us to do significant things. You know, what if, I was thinking this as I was preparing, what if last year we asked, this year God's going to give it, but between the ask and the give, we've got to do. I'll say it again. What if last year we were asking God, this year God's going to give it suddenly, but in between that, we've got to actually do something. Church, we've been called for such a time as this. As a church and as individuals, we've got to grab a hold of our such a time as this. And why is that? Well, there's just too much at stake. There is just too much that's going to be missed out on if we don't do what we're called to do, if we don't grab a hold of what God is calling us to do. You know, I want to share a few points from Esther's story, and I reckon the first thing that we can learn from Esther's story is we've got to prepare. We've got to prepare for our such a time as this moment. You know, Esther prepared. You remember she soaked in the oils and the perfumes and all that kind of stuff. We're believing for big things as a church. We're believing for big things as individuals. We believe we've been called for such a time as this, but how do we prepare? Or to make it personal, how do you prepare? How are you preparing? Once upon a time, I prepared for something once in my life. Now, I prepare for many things, but once upon a time, I did a silly thing called Tough Mudder. I don't know why you would pay money to do that. I do. It was fun. But basically what happens is you run 20Ks through like the dirt and through the mud and you're climbing over things and getting shocked by electric wires and barbed wire fence. It sounds like torture, yeah, but it was awesome. It was so much fun. But you know what? I didn't just go there and do that because I would have got zapped to death and drowned in the mud, you know. What I did was I went and ran up a whole bunch of hills. Brimbank Park became my greatest friend and I'm running up and down hills and doing push-ups and doing whatever I needed to do because I wanted to succeed when my moment came. You know, another time in more recent years, obviously preaching is a part of what I do now and I really take it seriously. So I try to do the best I can and I prepare as best I can. And the first time I got an opportunity to preach in a state, I'm like, this is going to be so good. Like, I can't wait. Like, I want to do this really well, God. I'll do everything I can. And God, you do the rest. And so I was preaching Friday night at youth, Saturday for creative a few times, Sunday morning at church, Sunday night at young adults. I'm like, so I got like five, you know, messages there. I'm like, sweet. The day before, I'm like, I'm going to just prep these really well so I don't need to look at my notes. And I'll practice them like three times each and get them down. And so I went to bed and I felt awesome. I was so prepared. It was going to be unbelievable. My voice was going to be a voice to the generations, you know. An interstate voice, and then I wake up in the morning and my voice to the generations wasn't even a voice. It was dead. It was finished. Literally, I couldn't even speak, and I was hopping on a plane in like 2 hours. So I quickly text messaged Brett Cooper. I'm like, bro, I can't even call you because I have no voice. I've got to preach in like 8 hours. Like, what are we going to do? So I shut off the high point, got all these cough drops and teas, and I'm pouring all this honey down my throat. I'm doing all sorts of weird things, and then I get to this church. And I just tried not to speak to anyone because I didn't want them to know that their guest speaker for youth that night had no voice. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, we got there in the end. But what I'm saying is you got to prepare, but just not like that, all right? You got to prepare. You've got to put in the work. And I reckon that was a silly example, but we can learn a lot from Esther's example. You see, Esther put herself in the king's presence. She knew where her answer and her help would come from, so she jumped into his presence. And I really believe we've got to do the same, church. We've got to position ourselves with God. We've got to position ourselves where we need to be. That's the greatest way that we can prepare. You know, and I find it interesting the way as humans we work, you, me, all of us included. You know, we know that God has got everything. In fact, in the Psalms, it says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the modern day translation of that is he's got everything we need. He's got all we could ever need. He's got it all. He's got it covered. You know, we know that he's got over 7,000 promises in the Bible just for us. We know that if we ask, he'll answer. You know, the nations as our inheritance, the end of the earth as our possession. If that's the case, then why isn't our initial response to draw near to him? If that's the case, if he's got everything we need to jump through the moments we need to jump through in life, why don't we live as close to him as we should? Church, I really believe that we've got to prepare, and the best way we can prepare is by being in God's presence. The best way we can prepare for what He's calling us to is to get closer to Him, to know what we need to do it. I just wanted to share some real quick practical thoughts on how to prepare, how to get in His presence. You cool for that, church? The first one is called church. We're doing it right now, right here, right now. Church, the house of God, where God's presence is. Like, why wouldn't you want to be here? This is the place to be. If you want to get close to God, be here. You know, A, B, C, abide, belong, contribute. You know, be at church. But you know the interesting thing, you may or may not know, it wasn't always abide, belong, contribute. It used to be attend, belong, contribute. But then we realized that attend actually doesn't say what we want it to say. Because attend kind of means you can come, you can go, you're on, you're off, whatever it might be. But it's like, no, we that's not what we want. That's not what we're trying to do. We want people to abide with God, abide at church. Because abide means to have one's abode, to dwell, to reside. You know, church, I really challenge you to step up and prepare for what God's calling you to do. Be a church. Be in the house of God. Week in, week out. Week in, week out. Hearing what God's saying, getting spoken to in worship, in the message, in the fellowship time afterwards. It's all part of what God wants us to do. You know, the other way we can get in His presence is by reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is so important. So important. It's got to be a daily habit. It's just got to be a daily habit. You've got to get in there, you know. Do it. Do a soap. Do a one-year Bible, whatever it might be. I was saying to the earlier service, last year I completed my seventh year in a row of one-year Bible. You know, you just got to do it, church. There's so much to it. Everything I've preached in the last 7 years has directly come from my one-year Bible. It's like 15 minutes a day. That's where my whole life source is. You know, I kind of got a rule that I don't put my feet out of my bed before I've read my one-year Bible. But now I've got a baby, it's a little bit different. Like if my morning's hectic, then I don't switch off the bedside light before I've read my one-year Bible. That way, definitely every day I'm reading the Bible without a doubt. Church, I really encourage you and I challenge you, do that. Do that. Get in the Word of God. Get in His presence. Get in His presence. You know, another real simple way to get in His presence is simply by substitution. You guys know how that works in the footy or basketball. You know, you swap a player at different times, and we can just simply substitute things. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard, but maybe on the way home from work, you can substitute our Pastor Shane podcast for Fox FM. You know what I'm saying? Maybe on the way home from work, you can substitute Enjoy Worship's new single instead of listening to Neil Mitchell on 3AW. We all love Neil Mitchell, but you know what I mean? You got to get it. And this one's the most challenging one. What about substituting the Bible app for Facebook? Oh, just got real all of a sudden. But that's where it's at, hey? Like, think about just swapping things around. What if every time you opened your Facebook, you also quickly read a verse from the Bible? It would change your life, I guarantee it. Church, we've got to do just simple things to get in God's presence. Come to church, read the Bible, just swap in some good stuff. Whatever it takes, get in His presence, because you've been called for such a time as this. Your suddenly moment is on the way. We've got to be prepared, church. And why do we have to be prepared? Well, my second point is we've got to be prepared so we don't miss our time. You see, when it comes to our moment, such a time as this, we've got to step up. We can't miss it because of stuff happening. You know, you look at Esther's story, and there was a lot going on in her world. She had that, you know, the bachelor competition she just won, celebration from that. Then she had, like, her whole race was going to be wiped out. Her uncle was going to be killed. Like, everything was happening. There was so many external distractions. She could have totally been justified just sitting in the king's palace and eating all the delicious food and ignoring the rest of the world outside the palace walls. But she didn't do that. She understood that she was called for such a time as this. She understood that it was her moment. She understood that even though there was stuff going on that she could easily step aside and get distracted by, it was her moment. It was her time. Church, stuff happens, you know. Stuff happens. But don't let it sideline you. Don't let it make you miss your suddenly moment. You know, the devil's not dumb, man. Like, if he jumped out with his horns and pitchfork right here, we'd freak out, rebuke him, and it'd be all good, you know what I mean? But he doesn't do it like that. He's shifty. He makes stuff happen, big things, little things, all kind of stuff, you know. I went through a season in my life where crazy stuff went on. I've told some of it before, but I had kidney stuff. So I had like 8 operations in the space of a couple of years. Then I had like a tumor removed from my neck, and then I had a root canal in my teeth, then my appendix burst, and then my mum like died a couple of times one night, and she's alive now, it's all good. She got a pacemaker, they sorted out, those doctors are good. You know, all sorts of crazy stuff happened. My house got robbed, and they stole my stuff in my own suitcases that they rolled down the road. Those guys are dogs, man. Those criminals are smart. They don't even bring their own bags, they just steal your bags and take your stuff in you. I'm not bitter at all. If I see him, though, it's all over. Tell you what, they stole a pair of my shoes, these Air Max 1s, these Miami edition. They're like, you can't get them anywhere. If I see some of them, it's all over, man. I'm gonna choke them out and jump on their neck and choke them. Is that all right, Pastor Shane? No, sorry. I meant praying for them. That's what I meant. I meant praying for them. And then they'll get saved and they'll come to church and generations will be changed by my such a time. That's too good. I'm running out of time. But you know what? In the midst of all that, me and Norma, my beautiful wife sitting on the front row, we made a decision that nothing was going to hold us back from what God is calling us to. Nothing was going to get in the way, no distraction, whether it's big, whether it's small, whether it's painful, whether it's whatever. We're going to step up to what God has called us to do. And as I close and as the worship team has already come, you know, we prepare, we don't miss out. And then what we've got to simply do is step out and do it. Step out and do it. Esther had to step out and do it. She had to go before the king. She had to step out and do it. As simple as that. You know, there's so many examples in the Word, and I wanted to bring up one particularly. I thought it was really cool just because of the amount of pieces to it. And that's when Abraham is looking for a wife for his son Isaac from his homeland. You see, God had promised that his son would have a wife from his homeland. So Abraham calls his servant in and says, you know, you need to go and find this wife for my son. So the servant's like, all right, cool. And he goes off and he goes, far out, how am I supposed to find this girl? So he prays to God and he says, let my path cross the right girl. And this is the way, so I know it's from you. And he says, I'll stand by a well. Let it be that the young woman whom I say, please let your pitcher, let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one. So the servant goes there, he's standing by the well, twiddling his thumbs like, far out, God, like, is this going to happen? But I'm going to step up and do it, I believe. And then Rebecca comes along and he asks a question, she responds in the right way, and God does his thing. God provides for his servant Abraham, God provides for his servant Isaac, God provides for Abraham's servant by doing his promise. You see, the such a time as this moment happened, the suddenly moment happened, but for all that stuff to happen, you got to think about it. Someone had to step out. Firstly, Abraham had to step out and call his servant. Then his servant had to step out and come to Abraham. Then Abraham had to send his servant. His servant had to go. His servant had to pray. God had to answer the prayer. Rebecca had to come. She had to ask the question. He had to, you know, it all had to happen. They all had to step out. They had to trust in God and step out, is what I'm saying. And it's the same for us, church. We just simply got to step out into our moment and trust God that he's going to do what we need him to do. Because he'll be there, it's a guarantee. You know, you're called, church. You're such a time of this moment, he's here. And he's waiting for you to step out. You know, because think about it, nothing happens if you don't step out. Nothing would have ever happened if no one ever stepped out. Think about the greatest stuff that happened in the history of the church. Think about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They had to step up the steps and into the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come and for it to happen. Think about the disciples. They had to actually break the bread and break the fish before it happened. It didn't just happen. Think about Peter. He had to step out of the boat. He can't walk out of the water out of the boat if he doesn't step out of the boat. You know, even for Jesus, it says that the Spirit descended like a dove. It's our key verse for this year. You know, but Jesus had to go down and be baptized and come out of the water. Then the Spirit descended. You see, church, we've been called for such a time as this. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, church? You know, but we've got to do something. It's why it's written above the doorway out there and over pretty much every Enjoy location. We've got to do something. We've got to step out. You know, what is it for you? What is it for you? Maybe you know right now. Well, let me encourage you. Let me challenge you. Step out. Step out. Maybe it's something God spoke to you in your quiet time. Maybe in worship this morning. Maybe as I was preaching. Maybe it's been on your heart for years. Step out, church. Maybe you know later this year, you know, I encourage you, prepare, get in his presence, get close to him. Don't get distracted by stuff. And there's a promise in the Acts that says you'll have dreams and visions. Young man shall see dreams, old man shall see visions, old man shall dream dreams. Church, we have a dream and a vision for Enjoy Church, and there is a dream and a vision for your life, guaranteed. When you get it, you just got to step out. You've been called for such a time as this. Now, as a church, the vision before us is great. And you are going to play a significant part in seeing that come to pass. And as individuals, in equally the same way, the vision and plans for your life are great. God is going to do amazing things through you. Now, whichever way you look at it, you have been called for such a time as this. We just got to prepare, not get distracted, and step out when it's our moment.